98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bigley Blast.
To all the young homie Suns fans, the one who have only seen terrible basketball teams and do not know the cruel torment and the injustices of playoff runs past, now you know what we're talking about. Now you know why we are the way we are. Keep in mind, this is not a death sentence, and there's a silver lining that Chris Paul's positive COVID-19 test occurred after the Suns swept the Nuggets. There's a feeling that Paul might miss one game, if that, and at most. But you can't help but feel terrible for Paul, who has had terrible luck in the postseason. A broken hand, a hamstring injury, a fluke shoulder injury. He's been an all-NBA performer 9 different times, and this is just his second appearance in the Western Conference Finals. And now this, and you can't help but feel terrible, period, because things were going so well, because the path seemed wide open, because the Suns were suddenly considered title favorites, and because this is Phoenix, where sports fans can't help but feel cursed, and the next few days are going to be pure agony waiting for news on Chris Paul. And here in Phoenix, we should have known this wasn't going to be easy.
He's the brains to the machine, if that makes any sense. He's the one who's orchestrating everything. He's putting everything in line, especially if you can see his worth. In the fourth quarter, look at all the fourth quarters we play and look at how he dictates the game. Look at how he controls the game. Look how he gets guys shots and not, if not getting himself a shot. He just controls the game at a high level. Like the mental part that he brings to the game and put him like the best player I ever played with mentally, you know, just him orchestrating the whole game on both ends of the court, talking, being a leader, and just controlling the game. I think, like I said, the fourth quarter of this whole series, he's dominated it. And then we put the ball in his hands to not only just get his shot off, but make other guys, myself and other guys, be more aggressive and get their shots off as well. So he does a great job of just leading our team, especially in those fourth quarters. We depend on him. We put the ball in his hands to make plays, not only for himself, but for other people. And he does it on a nightly basis.
How's Jay Crowder of the Suns on Jalen and Jacoby yesterday? It's fair to ask the question that when Jay Crowder did that interview, which was about 24 hours ago, if he had knowledge that Chris Paul had tested positive. We've heard for COVID-19, we've heard it trickle out now that the positive test may have occurred on Monday, maybe early Tuesday. You know, teams are pretty buttoned up with their information. James Jones, by the way, will be faced with a lot of Chris Paul questions on these airwaves this afternoon. When he joins Burns and Gambo, that'll be a big topic of discussion, obviously. 3:30 is when James Jones will join Burns and Gambo.
That's must listen.
Yeah, but that was Jay Crowder, even if he didn't have knowledge, just laying it out there on what Chris Paul has meant. And the Phoenix Suns right now are on a 7-game postseason winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
That winning streak started in Game 4 against the Lakers, which just happens to be the game where Chris Paul started to look like Chris Paul again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a devastating but temporary blow to the Suns, this news that they're facing, especially with the uncertain timetable of when that series starts and when Chris Paul can ostensibly be cleared with two negative tests. They won't even have an update on the information until Saturday.
Yeah, and if we're really lucky, all this will be resolved and he will have his two negative tests in line by then. That would be a nice break. And Chris Paul really deserves it. There, you go back and if you read over what he has dealt with in playoff heartbreak, it's dramatic is what it is. There was a broken hand, a hamstring injury. There's just been all sorts of nonsense that have jumped up and bit him along the way. He was in the midst of authoring what might have been one of the finest upsets in playoff history with the Houston Rockets against the Warriors, and he goes down with injury, and the Rockets absolutely fell apart. It's just really a shame because there was a time when Chris Paul developed a reputation as a playoff choker. People who didn't know any better didn't understand. His numbers are just as good in the playoffs as they always are in the regular season. He has had no health luck in the playoffs. None.
Not at all. And for him to come back from what he was dealing with in the Lakers series And if you look at the statistics that he put up in the Lakers series, now he had influence, no doubt about it, in a couple of those pivotal games. But that was the lowest scoring playoff series he's ever had, just because he wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the feeling, maybe for Chris Paul, but a lot of people around the league was, okay, he overcame that. This is the year maybe to exercise those demons. Maybe that leads to the Phoenix Suns as a franchise exercising their demons. These things are still possible. The Suns can still win a championship. Like I said, this is potentially a devastating but temporary blow.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe I'm the silver linings guy today, because I keep finding them. If you're a fan of the LA Clippers, you're not feeling real good about your chances today with the news that broke earlier about from Sham Sharania on the condition of Kawhi Leonard that the organization fears. It's an ACL injury. They don't win the title. We had Dave Pasch on last hour. You asked him the question, can the Clippers beat the Jazz without Kawhi Leonard? And he leaned towards no. I'll say it's still possible. You can win two games without your best player. Can you win, 10 more without your best player? That seems doubtful to me.
Yeah.
I mean, they're halfway to a series win without Kawhi Leonard right now. Brian Windhorst was on the KJZ morning show on ESPN Radio, had this to say.
Look at how this is opening for the Suns. You know, guys are dropping left and right. We literally just have news that one of their biggest rivals in the West left is just lost their best player. I mean, you know, they get the Nuggets, who are all banged up. You know, the Lakers, they're behind in that series. Guys, they may lose that series if Anthony Davis doesn't tweak his groin. And, Chris Paul had his near miss. He hit on his shoulder. It could have been a disaster. He dodged the bullet and is able to get healthy, and now he's playing his best basketball. Like, this could be his moment.
I mean, Brian Windhorst doesn't really have a rooting interest, but he sounds exasperated by it, doesn't he?
Well, yes, and I think that is kind of the realization. That's why I think this news is hitting us so hard today. It's because everything was finally going so well, and there was this feeling like, okay, something bad has to happen. And then we wake up this morning, and it's this. Let's really hope that no other Phoenix Suns were in contact with Chris Paul.
Yeah, that's the other thing to consider. And Gambo put the information out there that the Suns have been one of the leading franchises in the NBA in terms of vaccination rate. And maybe that shouldn't come as a surprise with Chris Paul as the head of the Players Association, and the league was making a push to educate and get its players vaccinated. So maybe that doesn't come as a surprise. But on the flip side of that, consider what we've seen in sports. Even though it doesn't seem like a June 2021 problem, it seems more like a June or like an August 2020 problem. We've seen COVID take out teams.
We have.
From contact tracing and being around those who have tested positive. I mean, what Major League Baseball had to do last year with the Marlins and the Cardinals early on in their season to navigate through that schedule. I mean, they had to jump through hoops. So, like I said, it doesn't seem like it should be something that we're talking about now.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's not. And hopefully it's isolated just to Chris Paul.
Here's a funny tweet from Dan Barr. Quote, wait, can't Doug Ducey enter an executive order and override this? Can't he simply declare the pandemic is over in Arizona? That's well done. That's really well done. Wish it was that simple, right? Yeah, I guess I think the smart, logical thing to do in this situation is to count your proverbial blessings, okay? Because this might be one game, this might be no games, it might be two games, but Chris Paul will come back in this series. And you look at what's happened to Kawhi Leonard, you look at James Harden, who is clearly not healthy. Yes, I think things could be much worse, because they are much worse in a lot of other cities, particularly cities that would mount threats to the Suns for a championship run. It's just the timing of it. The fact that Chris Paul is playing some of the best basketball of his life, coming off a series when he was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It just, and I think we all know that we're going to be stewing in this now. Today's Wednesday. We've got all the day today, Thursday, Friday. We're going to wake up on Saturday morning on pins and needles waiting for this update from the Suns if the news isn't broken by Gambo prior to that.
Mm-hmm. you're exactly right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
But it wouldn't be, I mean, you should be on pins and needles in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying pins and needles feels good, but it feels it's nice to have something to care about at this point. One thing hasn't changed on this whole front. You know, we were rooting for a quick Suns wrap up of the Denver Nuggets. You got that. When that series wrapped up, you're rooting for the Utah Clippers series to go long. That's at four right now. Game five is tonight. No Kawhi Leonard, maybe for the rest of the postseason for the Clippers. I still have faith that that can go seven. I really do.
I hope you're right.
The Clippers were so dominant on the two games in the two games on their home floor in L.A. That's going back for game six to L.A. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the Jazz will win tonight. They'll go up 3-2 is my belief. But I have faith, even without Kawhi Leonard, that the Clippers can stretch that out to seven.
That would be a big solid. That would be a really cool thing if that got to seven games. That means game one of the Western Conference Finals takes place on a Tuesday, and that would give Chris Paul plenty of time. That's not the right word. That would give Chris Paul maximum time to resolve this.
Mm-hmm. Mark J. Spears from the Undefeated joined Doug and Wolf this morning, and he's like, said the same thing. Root for a long one between the Clippers and the Jazz.
I know Sunday is quick. I mean, I think right now what you're hoping for, if you're the Suns, is a game seven
between
the Clippers and the Jazz, because, you know, that at least cuts you the next Tuesday, right? So, it ain't the same team, man. They're formidable, but this ain't the same. They're not a championship-level team without them.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're not. But can they navigate it for a game or two? That's the big question.
That's the big thing.
And we've been raving about Cameron Payne. And Amin Alhassan came on yesterday before this Chris Paul news broke. And I thought he brought up an interesting point. Everybody's talking about Chris Paul influencing Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and what he's done from a leadership standpoint. But he also brought up, look what Chris Paul's done for Cameron Payne.
Mm-hmm.
Not only in giving him confidence, but also sharing court minutes with him. Chris Paul talked about at the end of the year, I love playing with Cameron Payne. It just opens up different things for our offense. I think the Suns have the utmost faith in Cameron Payne. Now, you don't want to go into a best of seven Western Conference final series knowing that's what you have at point guard. But I think it's still manageable for a game or two with Payne. And I still would suspect that, in the worst case scenario, and there is an absence for Chris Paul, that Etuan Moore would be the first guard off the bench.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I do think, again, I think the Suns have depth. They've got talent. But I think at this level, and especially at, is it still the Delta Center? What do the Jazz call their arena?
Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Wow. Okay.
Super catchy that stuff. That rolls off the tongue. Vivint.
Right, just right out. Yeah. Okay, so that's but that environment there is every bit as hostile as the environment that now exists in Phoenix, and it's something the Suns have not experienced in this postseason. The crowd in Denver was okay, and the Lakers were limited by capacity, so they're going to get something in Game One that they have not experienced. And I know Devin Booker's cool with it. I know Jay Crowder's cool with it, and I really know Chris Paul would have been cool with it. Without Chris Paul slowing the pace, keeping things calm, that's going to be a real difficult assignment for the Phoenix Suns to get out of that one alive. But again, really, it's just a matter of staying close and hoping you can close the game at the end. It doesn't mean that you forfeit. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And who knows? I mean, Monty Williams, in his Zoom availability today, I'm kind of sampling some of Kellen Olsen's tweets. He is not happy at all that Devin Booker did not make an All-NBA team.
Shouldn't be. That was my first reaction. We talked about it yesterday. We expected Chris Paul to be on the second team. Certainly could have made a strong case for him being on the first team as a top five MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen. Second team. Devin Booker not being on the top three?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was searching when that news broke yesterday, Bick, to go back to LeBron's tweet from earlier in the season that said Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in our league.
Okay, and I tweeted something out about this last night as well, and immediately people who were not Suns fans were demanding, who would you take off the team? To me, it's pretty obvious. LeBron James played 45 games this year. Kawhi Leonard played 52 games. 52!
Mm-hmm.
why are you rewarding players who are playing 60% of the season?
Devin Booker finished behind Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Donovan Mitchell in the votes. He did receive 3 second-team votes and 12 third-team votes. But, you know, the byproduct of that, again, is if Devin Booker is indeed fueled by disrespect or perceived disrespect, that's just another little bit of it to put in his pocket for next year moving forward.
All right. Devin Booker had a better year than Jimmy Butler, in my opinion.
I agree.
So I would have him there. He had a better year than Paul George, in my opinion.
Jimmy Butler
Bradley Beal belongs. How many games did Kyrie play? 61? Less than that? I don't know. It just, to me, there's a lot of
availability should be considered.
I think
and
so.
And certainly availability played a factor in the way that the MVP pecking order shook out. Kyrie Irving played 54 regular season games, so he missed 18 games. James Harden, he missed a bunch of games. That was not really considered. By the way, your point on Jimmy Butler, he was the only guy on the third team to even get a first place vote, first team vote. He got 7 of them. Seven voters looked at who was good. It was certainly a drop off from what he did last postseason.
Definitely.
You could say that about the whole Miami team.
Yeah. I mean, again, he's a good player. He had a good season, but I don't think it was at Devin Booker standards. I don't think it was at Trae Young standards. I think both those players really got jobbed by some names that just seem to be slotted into these teams because they're LeBron, they're Kawhi. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I played a couple of clips from the Jay Crowder interview with Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN yesterday. He was asked, all right, you're sitting back. You're waiting now for your next opponent. How are you getting prepared for the Clippers or the Jazz?
I'm watching film. You guys may look at it as like watching the game, but I'm really, really dissecting both teams. I'm watching how Clippers are going small and trying to shake up the series a little bit with that. I'm watching how both teams are just attacking one another. I'm just watching film. I'm watching it as those guys are going to be my opponents. I'm just dissecting their game, their game plans, and trying to apply it and put myself in those situations. But I'm definitely tuned in on a nightly basis. I'm watching these guys. I'm looking forward to the challenge of next round.
He also went back to the beginnings, and he had a quote after game 4 about looking like a genius that he joined the Suns at this point.
Yeah.
Kind of elaborated on that during the interview.
I mean, Devin Booker, I felt like as a player in this league, that's a talent who hasn't been able to play meaningful basketball games, and I wanted to help him get to that point. I wanted to be a piece to the puzzle to help get him to play meaningful basketball, and that's playoff basketball. And I felt like the group had what it took, a couple of missing pieces, and I felt like when Chris Paul signed, it was an easy decision for me in the sense of if I was going to leave Miami, where I was going to go, because the pieces that were already in place. I felt like Chris Paul was – he's proven in this league to be arguably the one of the best point guards to ever play the game, so – It was not an easy decision to leave Miami, but at the same time, when I made the decision to come to Phoenix, I felt like it was the best decision for myself and for this organization to help get to where we need to be. Yeah.
And as we speak right now, Jay Crowder, yes, you do look like a genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the one where he talked about guarding LeBron in the first round, too. This is a great answer. They asked Jay Crowder about that.
I'm up for the challenge. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I want to guard the best player because I want to give my chance. I want to give my team a chance to win. I feel like I do a good job of just making it tough. I don't stop anybody. It's tough to stop guys in this league with the way we score and the way the league is scoring. But you want to make it as tough as possible on guys and be an a-hole sometimes. And I'm able to do that here and there. But obviously, LeBron is a great player. He's the greatest player in our league right now. And I just wanted to make it as tough as possible for him and get him frustrated a little bit. And hopefully things go our way, and I think that's what happened.
That's a man who knows his role. Be an a-hole every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's that the spirit that he brought against LeBron James is a big reason why they won that series and a big reason why that people while his popularity absolutely soared, the salsa dance was one of the great moments in Phoenix Suns history. It was the equivalent of Rajah Bell's takedown.
It was, except it didn't. It didn't end in a suspension.
No,
only an ejection.
Right.
That's
right.
The big difference.
That's right. So I like what Monty Williams said. We'll try to bring you some of that sound soon. He said the spirit in the gym today was unreal. So that shows you that This team's head's in the right is in the right place. They're not sulking over this whatsoever. So, you know what?
You can't. I mean, it sounds cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Every team says it. They carry it out to varying results. Next man up. This is not an insurmountable loss. If Chris Paul was dealing with the shoulder and just couldn't play and was marginalized or out for the rest of the playoffs, I wouldn't be saying the things that I'm saying.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've talked about in terms of the strength of the Phoenix Suns is the team chemistry. This is a very well put together team that appears to be all on the same page. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. Chris Paul played basketball to a level that few have ever played in the playoffs on Sunday. We could agree on that.
Without a doubt.
And it was pretty consistent throughout that series, especially in the fourth quarters of those series. It hurts. Next man up.
Yeah.
And hopefully, that doesn't even apply. Hopefully, there's a better path to get Chris Paul available for game one for the Suns. You know, of course, taking into account his health, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, that is. That is the most important thing. And again, it's one of those things where I think what we've been conditioned to do from the moment Chris Paul was hurt in game one to this news today is that we just assume that every chunk of bad news is going to derail this basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're good enough and strong enough to blow all that out of the water, to take all of that fear of things that we've encountered in the past and change them. And I'm really encouraged by Monty Williams' quote about practice today.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but you got to consider the boat that you're in. And not only that you're in, but also your opponents are in. And they're having discussions in L.A. and Salt Lake City and Philadelphia and Brooklyn. Similar situations. Are the fill-in-the-blank good enough to win this whole thing without fill-in-the-blank? It's going on all over the league. Is it, you know, reassuring in a strange way? Yeah, it kind of is. The Suns are not alone in dealing with this.
No,
that's what's kind of made these playoffs so interesting to watch.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Now, the Utah Jazz tonight will not have Mike Conley. And I don't know if that will give the Clippers a better chance. I kind of agree with you. I think that if the Clippers are going to win a game, it's going to be game six. That is what I think I'm cheering for more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Delay the start of this series to Tuesday.
Yeah.
That would be fortuitous.
Yeah, throw out everything we said yesterday on determining who the opponent is. Don't care anymore.
No.
Go game seven.
Yep, that's it. That's it. Big fan of game seven.
Coming up, the twists and turns of the NBA playoffs have been all over the league. We'll get into more of those around the league next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Murata on this Wednesday, live from the Ak Chin Community Studios. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll get a little bit more clarification information on the ASU recruiting investigation that's going on. Doug Howler from The Athletic will join us. And I know I said we were going to talk about NBA playoffs. We are going to talk about the NBA playoffs, just in a different light and a more local light.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had said Monty Williams, the head coach of the Suns, had his media availability. I'm not going to play the whole thing for you, but we are going to play a chunk of that session with you. It starts with a question about Chris Paul's availability or condition at this point, to which Monty didn't answer very completely, but then goes in to talk about some other things related to it. Here you go. This is about 4 minutes and 15 seconds.
Coach, can you give us an update on Chris Paul, please?
I think the update has already been given, and so there's no need to talk about that anymore. We put a statement out, and I've been pretty consistent when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm not at liberty to talk about those situations.
Next up is going to be Dwayne Rankin with the Arizona Republic and then Craig Fooey.
Coach, obviously it's been out that he's under the protocols and you guys are giving an update on his status. I believe Saturday is what the release is saying. I just was curious, Joe, though, the reaction, though, to that, Coach, of him being under the protocols from the team. And if you guys, just the reaction to that.
I mean, it's like anything else. When we've had guys in the past who've had it or been in that situation where you got to go in the protocols, there's a natural concern for other person. And that's basically where it ends. You know, the league is trying to do everything they can to, you know, keep individuals and teams safe. And, you know, there's just a natural concern for an individual.
Next up is Craig Fooey with ABC 15, followed by Kellen Olsen.
Coach, I guess the question then becomes for us in the media, what happens if Chris is not available for a game one of the Western Conference Finals? Have you thought through that yet in terms of Cameron Payne, or where do you go at that point?
Yeah, I mean, there's thankfully we put ourselves in a position where we have time, Craig, but at the same time, as a coach, I have to think through those scenarios, and I've thought a lot about it, and we haven't made a decision just yet because we don't have to, but it is a process for me to not only think about, you know, who starts, but the rotation after that, because it can change a lot based on who you go with as a starter and how your bench rotation changes.
Next up is Kellen Olsen with Arizona Sports, and then Richard Zions.
Hey, Monty, was the schedule around the facility affected at all by the status of Chris? And in terms of practice, did you guys practice today? Were you able to practice before? Do you plan to in the future? Just that kind of update.
Nothing's been changed at all. We practiced yesterday. We practiced today. Had a really good practice today. Got up and down. Guys got a really good sweat. They're actually still out there on the floor. So nothing has changed for us. We're just trying to manage these days. I've talked to a number of coaches who've been in this situation just to get information on how they've handled, you know, this much time off and that kind of thing. So we're trying to keep a game rhythm as best we can.
Next up is Richard Zions with Fox 10, followed by Mark McClone.
Coach, you know, I know you always, you know, tell your team, you know, what you guys want is on the other side of hard. Yeah, I would imagine this is one of those moments. What do you tell the team after, you know, an incident like this? And what do you tell Chris Paul in particular, who it always seems to be harder for when it comes to the playoffs, when you consider what he went through in the Western Conference Finals a couple of years ago and even in the first round with his shoulder and so on?
Well, I try not to overthink things, and I try to limit the amount of information that I crowd the players' minds with, because right now we're just in a situation where all we can do is practice and wait to see what happens. So there's a natural tendency to let your head spin a little bit, but I try not to do that, especially with our team. You know, there's a goal in front of us, and we're focused on that, and we're hoping and praying that we'll be whole again before we play game one. All we can do is the next right thing, and that was what we did today. We had a really good practice.
Yeah, that was a snippet of Monty Williams, his media availability from today, kind of setting the tone a little bit, and saying all the things that you would expect a really good head coach to say. Yep. They are powerless in all of this, just to do anything else other than business as usual. And I think this team is equipped to do
that.
Yeah,
and I think this is also something where, from the sound of it, if Monty Williams is not exaggerating, and I don't think he's prone to do that, I think the spirit he commented on in the gym today during practice might have been very much a basketball team that is kind of steeled themselves to go and perform well without Chris, for Chris, for all that he has done for them and all the work he's put in. I'm sure they're quite aware of the unfair playoff history and the things that have affected Chris Paul in the past. It's one thing to be a guy like Karl Malone, who plays for a couple of championships and loses, or Charles Barkley, who gets a shot in 93 and can't beat Michael Jordan. It's another thing entirely to possibly be the best point guard in history and never even get to the finals.
Well, those debates are going on now. How highly can you rank Chris Paul when it's all said and done on that pecking order of great point guards if he doesn't get to a final?
Yeah, no, I know. And it's, I don't know if anyone will ever top Magic Johnson in that category. And there's been some obviously phenomenal point guards in the NBA. But Chris Paul across the board, I read a stat about him This was in 2017, so this was before he had even gotten, I think, when was his first Western Conference Finals? 2017?
I think it was 18.
Was it 18?
Let me double check.
So the stat was, after the 2017 season, Chris Paul had the highest wins above replacement rating of any player in NBA history to never have made the Western Conference Finals. Meaning, in other words, that if you take bad luck out of the equation, he would have been to the Western Conference Finals many, many, many times because players that good get there.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Paul has been that good. But he's also been very, very unlucky. He was part of a Pelicans team that took one of the worst playoff beatings in the history of the sport. I think they scored 63 points in a game.
Yeah, that might not be bad luck, but it's part of his history.
Right, and there's just been bad injuries that come at terrible times. So we were all hoping this was different because of the way Chris Paul bravely fought through that shoulder injury, and we really were hoping all of that was behind him. So I guess we're just going to have to hope for the best. This is just very unnerving for us because we thought this week was going to feel so much different.
Yeah, but we've talked about, you know, that construction of culture too, and it really sucks that this has happened to the Suns' most influential player, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But had it been somebody else, a key player who was affected by this, and Chris Paul was at the facility, you know what Chris Paul would be saying to the rest of the team. He'd be business as usual. This is a team. We talk about the depth all the time. It could be tested. It's really unfortunate, but those words from Monty Williams are really ringing right now. What he brought out earlier this year, everything you want to accomplish is on the other side of hard. Man, it's almost laughable at how many times that's being put to the test now.
Yeah, and we all kind of, I thought getting past the Lakers was the other side of hard because of the Chris Paul injury and all that stuff, the matchup and all that stuff. This is another thing. And just a reminder, though, this has been a crazy, crazy NBA postseason. In fact, LeBron James has gone on social media and basically destroyed the NBA for everything that's gone on.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that and his reaction to what's going on in the NBA playoffs and a big game for the Suns' next opponent. Tonight, we'll get into it all next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta, Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
I wasn't planning on playing every minute, but as the game started to flow, we got down. I told Coach that, if you need to take me out for a couple, it's cool, but I feel good, and he just let me ride it out. So, you know, Jeff Green was incredible tonight. James coming out here and thugging it out for us, being another ball handler for us. I mean, I just think the second half we played extremely hard.
Yeah, if you would have told me last night going into that game that James Harden would score 5 points in attempting to play, that Joe Harris really wouldn't chip in offensively, and that the Brooklyn Nets were going to overcome a 17-point deficit to beat the Milwaukee Bucks, I would have told you you were out of your mind. But we also didn't know what Kevin Durant had up his sleeve last night. And that was, quite simply, a studly, heroic, legendary performance by a guy who had a microscope. He was under the microscope going into that game because everybody said, big spot. KD doesn't have all of his available help. Let's see what he can do. Man, he delivered big time.
Yeah, he did. He did. And if there's any solace to take in Phoenix from it, we've got a guy in Devin Booker who could do and have that kind of game in game one against the Jazz. And he's obviously, you could almost tell from Monty Williams' discussions about individual awards that this is going to be a theme, that this is going to be something they rally around. No Mikal Bridges on the all-defensive team, no coach of the year from the media for Monty Williams, no all-NBA teams 1 through 3 for Devin Booker. I think they're going to put it all in a big pot and stir it up and hope to maybe use that as additional fuel going into what might be a playoff game without Chris Paul. But I do agree with you, Kevin Durant, that was one of his finest moments. He stepped up big time. Kevin Durant's not my cup of tea. There are people who think that that at the very least, you should respect him because he's real. He doesn't try to act like someone he's not. So So he's very combative.
That's true.
On social media. He, you know, the burner accounts, the getting in arguments with people.
The thin skin.
Yeah. I mean, there was a recent story that this guy is so out there that he wanted to go on a date with an adult entertainer. And he brought a girlfriend with him in case the date didn't go well. Who does that? Kevin Durant, apparently.
If you can get away with it.
I guess. But as a basketball player, people were thinking that about him last night. Okay, well, this is him by himself. I also give credit to James Harden, whose game I do not like, for doing something that, to me, was very unselfish. Risking further injury to get out there and just do what he could to help that team win. And I think moments like that make a team really strong. So Brooklyn came out of last night in really good shape, in my opinion.
I agree. And now you got a team tonight in Philly in a similar situation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going back to Philly for Game 5. They're tied with Atlanta, who, you know, had a big comeback win in Game 4. Their best player, Joel Embiid, not up to 100%, really struggled in the second half of that game. But his teammate, Dwight Howard, says, don't worry, Embiid will rebound.
Monday is over with. Today is what? Wednesday? So that's in the past. You got to leave it where it's at, you know. I think what you do is you talk about it the night of the game, you know, get all that frustration out, all that bad energy that you may have had that game out, and come back the next day, wake up, ready to go. I think he's going to come back and have an amazing game tonight. He's going to dominate the paint, and that's what it's going to take for us to win the game.
We shall see. I give a lot of credit to Atlanta, but most people pointed at them and said, okay, they got a favorable first-round matchup against the Knicks. They made quick work of them. They're not ready for this yet. They're proving to be ready for this.
Yeah, that's a sneaky good team, and Trae Young is really establishing himself among the brightest young stars in the NBA. NBA's got a great future with a new generation of young basketball players and stars and that kind of thing. That's going to be interesting to see if Atlanta can seize the advantage in this. All right, can I blow through these LeBron James
yes, please.
Hate tweets?
Yes.
Okay, so LeBron James tweeted 5 different tweets attacking the NBA. I'll read this to you. Quote, they all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries aren't just part of the game. It's the lack of pure rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars have missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of the year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our favorite players. It's insane. If there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. I speak for the health of all our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of the year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your favorite guys right now, and I know all about the business side, too, so don't even try me. I get it. Prayers up to the claw. So he makes some points. He's also making it all about him again.
Well, he knows better than anybody. Dr. James knows better than anybody.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Look, does it suck? Yes. Is it a byproduct of trying to get back on schedule? Probably. What do you want him to do? The NBA wasn't uniquely prepared for a global pandemic to hit. I think they pivoted pretty well, all things considered.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get what LeBron is saying, because the Lakers were stretched out more than anybody. But
maybe they shouldn't have won the championship last year then. Yeah, if they were so concerned about their long-term health,
yeah,
pack it in like you did this year, LeBron.
Yeah. Well, listen, I predicted this yesterday, that all the teams that have been vanquished, they're going to blame the NBA for not winning a championship this year.
What happened to Kawhi Leonard could happen to anybody. It could have happened back in December in Game 1. He stepped wrong. Kyrie Irving came down on somebody's foot.
And injuries happen quite frequently in the postseason. Has it happened to the extent that it's happened this year? No, it hasn't. And I'm sure there are reasons, and I'm sure LeBron is not necessarily wrong, but it's more than that. It's more involved.
Yes. And I hate to sound like the grumpy old man on this subject, but here goes. I get all the concerns about player safety and health. I really get them in the NFL when we're talking about head injuries, and they were way behind the curve on that for decades. So finally they're doing something right. But again, if it's a twisted ankle or a torn ACL or a shoulder injury, a stinger, whatever it may be, if you don't want to get hurt, don't play sports.
Yeah, I know. I know, man.
What are we supposed to do as consumers with that?
Again, it's the NBA didn't just throw darts at when to start the season. They put a lot of time and effort into it. They knew this was not going to be fair to the teams that spent the most time in the bubble, but that was part of the deal. And like you said, the Lakers got a championship out of it. Okay?
Yeah, they did.
So stop complaining about the process.
And, I mean, it's another instance, too, where LeBron has been out of sight, out of mind for a while since he got eliminated from the playoffs, but he's got to chime in because he's the de facto mouthpiece for every player in the league.
Well, yes, and to me, I look at this and I think, okay, this is part of what you're saying is right, and part of it is so transparent that people are going to use this as a cheap excuse. Well, LeBron, you were eliminated in the first round. This is his antidote to that. This screed that he just put out on social media is his alibi for losing in the first round of the playoffs for the first time in history.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just came up with another good band name.
You did.
De facto mouthpiece.
That's not bad.
I could maybe like an industrial feel to that band.
It's not bad.
De facto mouthpiece.
This summer.
Headlining Lollapalooza. Coming up, 1 o'clock is here. That means Social Studies is around the corner. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.